there. Using an iPad, Dan. Using my electronics, you know me. Mr. Geek, Bishop Geeky. Well, it's good to have everybody here. Those of visitors who are here for the retreat that starts tomorrow morning, our Lenten clergy-wise retreat. But tonight is just our Wednesday night service, and we continue teaching through the book of Colossians. So those of you retreaters, you get in on what we've just been doing here for a while in the book of Colossians. Thank Luke and Sam for leading us in worship. They'll be leading us next couple nights. I was thinking about our worship people, our team, and people who participate in worship. I know that TC's back there. She's been on the worship team for a long time. We don't just have our normal stuff here because we do a lot of conferences here, a lot of special stuff. And so I was thinking, like, we do four, it's called Acts Council, Apostolic Council for Transformation Selma. It's a council of leaders around the city who are just here to steward revival. And we come together once a month, try to, and we pray and seek the Lord. But four times a year, we do a harp and bow prayer thing here with worship. We also have two Asmawars conference here a year. We have two, what else, Luke? Lazarus weekends, and those are multiple night worship things. And then that's 10. In only 12 months, that's 10. And then most, many times, there are at least a couple more special people that come. So they do a lot. They work a lot. And it's always been that way. We've always had a lot of special stuff going on here. And then we have, well, we have this, and then we have other things. And so they earn their keep. But Father, I just thank you for your word. Open up our hearts to hear what you're trying to say to us. In Jesus' name, amen. We have a few people in our church who may have thought we started a retreat tonight too, but it's all good. So it'll be on tape. Again, to remind, the theme of Colossians is the all-sufficiency of Christ. It's there are so many key verses in the book of Colossians, but this is the all-sufficiency of the person of Christ. Again, they're dealing with, Paul's never met these people before. He never did meet them. He was involved in Ephesus, which was not too far from there. He knew some of their leaders, the two original leaders of the church in Colossae, but they were not people he knew in person, but he knew about the battles that they were going through spiritually. And they were basically being told that Jesus Christ isn't enough. You got to have these extra things. Some of these were charismatic things. Some of them were mystical things. Some of them were self-denial things and self-discipline things. And what Paul is trying to say to them is that everything you need to live the Christian life is in the person of Jesus. That you have been made complete, Colossians 2:10, or been made full, it has happened in Christ. So like all the other things that Paul writes, his great theme, no matter what subject he's addressing or what issue he's addressing, is who we are in Christ. And Colossians is one of my favorite books. I've taught it so many over the years, bunches. And so we're in chapter 3. So let me just read beginning in verse 1, again in chapter 3, and we'll progress as far as we can. As I've told our group for a while, Paul in the Colossians is kind of like he's hammering a nail. And he'll swing it and hit it, and then he swings it again. It's the same swing every single time. He just says the same thing over and over and over again, trying to make the point. Colossians chapter 3, verse 1. Since then, you've been raised up with Christ. Keep seeking those things where Christ is, seated at the right hand of God. Set your mind on things above, not on things of the earth, for you have died, the person you used to be, the old man. Your life, your new life, is hidden with Christ in God. It's one of the real key verses in Colossians. Your new life is hidden with Christ. You can't find your new identity. Your who you are as a new creation is all wrapped up in the person of Christ. Your new life is hidden with Christ in God. And then he says it again, sums it up. And when Christ, who is your life, that's at the heart of Colossians, your new life is hidden with Christ and God. You died, and your new life is hidden with Christ and God, now in Christ, who is your life. Your very life, he says. Now Christ, as your life is revealed or manifested through you, you will be also manifest with him in glory. Therefore, in light of the fact that the person that you used to be died, and the new creation is in union with Christ, that Christ is your very life, he says, therefore, consider the members of your earthly body as dead to things like immorality, impurity, passion, evil desire, greed, which amounts to idolatry. For it is on account of these things that the wrath of God will come to the people who are lost, which we aren't. And in them you also once walked or lived when you were living in them as the old creation. But now also put aside, put them all aside, anger, wrath, malice, slander, abuse of speech from your mouth. Do not lie to one another. In the language there is literally stop lying to one another, since you laid aside the old self with its evil practices. And you have put on the new self. What's the heart of the new self? Hidden with Christ in God. And have put on the new self, who is being renewed to a true acknowledge according to the image of the one who created him. The new self looks like the image of the one that created you. Looks like Jesus. And you're going through this renewal process where more and more we're becoming transformed. We're discovering who we are in Christ, and that life is coming forth more and more. Now, a lot of these words we looked at last week, for those of you visitors, man, what does he mean by that? And then he said, it's a renewal in which there's no distinction between Greek and Jew, circumcised or uncircumcised, barbarian or Scythian, slave and free man. Then he kind of does another one of those summary words like Paul does in Colossians. You know, that your life is hidden with Christ in God. Christ is your life. Then he says, for Christ is all. And he's in all. Some translations will say, and Christ is all you need. And he's in all of you. If you're a believer, Christ is in you, and he's all that you need. Now understand, in this section of Colossians, he's getting very practical. He's been talking about in chapter 2 that the person you were was crucified with Christ, and all the things that happened to you in Christ by his finished work. And that just through self-discipline or mystical experiences or charismatic experiences where you have visions and dreams and all that stuff, that's not enough to conquer the power of sin in your life. The key to holiness is a person. It's in Jesus. It's in your relationship with Christ. It's in the person of Christ. And then he starts this chapter. Since then you've not just died with him, you've been raised with him. Then for you died and you were risen. Your life is now hidden with Christ and God. And then he goes on. He says, here are the certain things. And the language that he uses here, when he says in verse 5, therefore consider the members of your body as dead to these things. We looked at a lot of that last week. And it was verse 9 when he says, and stop lying to one another, since you laid aside the old self and you've put on the new self. These were all written in tenses. It's like summary action. It's not like, well, I'm doing better in that sin, so I'm experiencing victory. I don't get angry as much as I used to. That's not what Jesus came to do. For all of you charismatics, when you cast a spirit out of a person, you don't go, I'm just going to cast a quarter of that spirit out. And we're going to work on that over time. Now, I know there's sometimes deliverance you do, but you don't like leave a half a spirit in there. You do everything. And Jesus came to set us free. And so it's not like, okay, well, I'm getting better at anger, or I'm getting better at lust, or I'm getting better at, you know, greed, or I'm getting better at outbursts, I'm getting better at control, I'm getting better at bitterness, I'm getting better at... That's not what he came to do. He came to set you free. And I'll show you more about that tonight. And then he begins to move in verse 12 by saying, here are the things you put on. He talked about being dead to certain things. Now he talks about putting on certain things. Alrighty? But that great word in the middle of this book, Christ is all, and He's in all. This has infatuated me since I was 25 years old. So that's almost 40 years ago. I'm not less infatuated than I was about this whole reality, about Christianity being a person. We make it so complicated, and it's not complicated at all. There's a thing I wrote that says, I'm going to read you a few things. I wrote this down. It says, our victory, if you got the devotional read it today, some of this will be familiar to you on As and Roars. Our victory over the power of sin is a person, not a principle. Your victory over the power of sin isn't rolling up your spiritual sleeves and determination. Colossians chapter 2 ends by telling you that won't work. All the self-abasement, all the self-denial will not have any effect in the end against fleshly indulgences. Because even if you quit doing it on the outside and you're steaming on the inside, you're still in sin. He came to set us free from the inside out. And Jesus lives His life from the inside out. My victory is a person and not a principle. So one of the things I'd ask you tonight, and I don't want you to raise your hand and answer, how do you deal with temptation? What is it, when you get tempted to think things or say things or whatever, how do you face that? What is it that you do? Is it that you count to 10? Are there scriptures that you memorize? Is there some formula you've gotten down pat? I mean, what is it that you do? Do you grit your teeth and just try not to do it anymore? And what Paul's trying to say in this scripture, and one of the things I wrote down is that the simplicity of it all is mind-numbing to me. Your only chance for real victory, consistent victory, deep victory, is drawing from a person who alone, in union with you, with your permission and faith, can face that thing and conquer it time and time again. Not drawing from a formula, not drawing on something you memorized. Now notice what he says in chapter 3. He says, verse 9, do not lie to one another. And the word language there is actually stop lying to one another. And it means stop it totally. It's not an improvement program. Doesn't mean you won't fail again, but you aren't content with, I don't lie as much. Stop lying to one another since you laid aside the old self and its evil practices. See, if the old self's been laid aside, then the evil practices should be laid aside too. And you've put on the new self who is being renewed, we went on and talked about. Now, again, one of the things to remind you of too, when he says in verse 11, it's a renewal, a transformation, and it doesn't matter whether you were Greek or you were Jew or a Gentile, or whether your lifestyle was a barbarian or a Scythian, which was worse, or a free man or a slave, Christ is all in all. Again, that's one of my favorite scriptures because as a pastor or a person who mentors people or disciples people or teaches people, he says here, there's a level playing field here. It doesn't matter where you come from. If you were a slave, you had a lot of bad things happen to you. It doesn't matter what's happened to you. Doesn't matter what you've done, because if you're a Scythian or barbarian, you've done a lot of bad things. Barbarians do bad things. So it doesn't matter where you've been, what you've done, what's been done to you. The ingredient to be renewed into the image of Jesus is Christ is all, and He's in all. None of those things can we keep as legitimate excuses to not be Christ-like. And again, Christ-like is not by rolling up your sleeves and by determination and self-will trying harder to be like Christ. It's drawing from the person of Christ to be like Christ who lives in you and wants to be revealed through you. For you've died. Your life is now hidden with Christ in God. Now when Christ, who is your life, comes forth, when He's revealed, it's not talking about the second coming. Nowhere in this is the context I'm coming. When Christ is manifested through you, you will be manifested with Him in glory. You'll walk in glory. Christ being revealed through you. Not you trying to reveal Christ. But Christ is all and He's in all. So every single believer has the same capacity for victorious living because you have the secret ingredient to victorious living over the power of sin, which is what? Christ Himself. That's the maddening simplicity of Christianity. But we make it so complicated. I don't remember if I read these verses last week, but let me just read them just in case. This is Romans 13. This whole putting on and putting off. Romans 13, verse 11. And this do, knowing the time that is already, knowing that it is already the time, the hour for you to awaken from sleep. For now salvation is nearer to us than when we believed. The night is almost gone, the day is at hand. Let us therefore lay aside the deeds of darkness and put on the armor of light. That's cool. But he's going to explain to us in a minute what that is. Let us behave properly as in the day, not in carousing or drunkenness, not in sexual promiscuity and sensuality, not in strife or jealousy, but put on the Lord Jesus Christ. And make no provision for the flesh in regards to its lust. In other words, because you still have your fallen humanity, you have flesh. And that flesh lusts against the Spirit. But you who have Christ, because Christ is all, and He's in all, Christ is all you need, and He's in every one of you, put Him on. That's about appropriating Him. Draw from Him. Because that's the only way you will not make provision for the flesh. That's the only way that you'll behave properly in these days. Is by Christ. The formula is a person. You see, the Scripture talks about abiding in Christ. In 1 John, it's one of John's favorite way of saying things. John 15, unless you abide in me. Every believer is in Christ. And Christ is in you. But every believer doesn't abide in Christ. Every believer doesn't tenaciously depend on and draw from that life. Every believer is in Christ. But God wants us to abide in Christ. It's our only source of holiness. And victory. I can always tell when somebody's trying really hard to be holy because they're just sort of angry a lot of times. Because you see the fruit of the Spirit's love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, gentleness. Do you understand that? That's not a personality type. That's what Jesus was like. Your personality may be different, but it's not going to come across sternness, anger, wrathful. I'm trying to cut to the chase a little bit so I don't. Second Corinthians, chapter 11. Wrong Corinthians. Verse 2. For I am jealous for you with a godly jealousy, for I betrothed you to one husband, that to Christ, that I might present you as a pure virgin. But I am afraid lest the serpent deceived Eve by the craftiness of your mind should be led astray from the simplicity and the purity that belongs to Christ. Paul talks twice in Colossians about not giving in, being dead to the elementary principles of this world. And again, the elementary principles of this world is achieve so you can receive. But Christianity is you've received everything in your new birth. Now go achieve for God. the elementary principles of this world that Christians often walk in is that I'm going to fight and fight and fight for a place of victory from which I can live. Christianity says you were born into a place of victory from which you can fight. There's a huge difference. This is a scripture I read today at Eucharist noon. So those of you who are there, which of course is Edith, because Edith is always there, and she's in California, because she's faithful. This is John 16, verse 33. These things I've spoken to you. Verse 31. Jesus said, do you now believe? And behold, an hour is coming, already has come, for you to be scattered. We're about to face some crazy stuff in the next few days. A lot of temptation that comes against them. Remember how they hide themselves in the upper room? Fear of the Jews. Fear. Their lives are going to be at danger. Insecure. All kinds of stuff they're going to be hit with. He says, you're all going to be scattered to his own home. You're going to leave me alone. But I'm not alone because the Father is with me. These things I've spoken to you, let you in on what's about to come, though you don't really know it yet. But when it comes, you remember I've told you, that in me you may have peace. You're not going to find peace anywhere else. I've tried it. I made an art form of trying to find peace by everything being just the way I'd like it to be. I know none of you have ever done that. Just trying to control things, even if it's in your own heart and mind. If I can just work it out in my own heart and mind, how this is going to turn about to be okay, I'm going to be at peace. There's no peace in any of that. He says to them, you're about to go through horror. You're going to come under attack from every direction. Rejection, fear of death, anxiety, anger, resentment. There are going to be people that you know are going to stand before that cross screaming, crucify him. Or standing in the court saying, crucify him. All those things. Confusion. They left everything to follow him. Now he's dead. He said, in me you may have peace. In the world, you're going to have tribulation. Same word for testing and temptation. It's the same word for temptation. In this world, here's a promise from God, y'all. Put it on your refrigerator. Get a magnet. Put it on your refrigerator so you can claim that promise every day. In this world, you will get tempted. And you will be tested. But be of good cheer. I have overcome the world. I used to read that and go, whoop-dee-doo. I'm glad you did. But we're talking about me right now. In my situation. But my life is hidden with Christ in God. And the overcomer who's already overcome the world, who is tempted in every way like unto me without sin. That overcomer who's already overcome the world lives in me. And my peace is found in the fact that if he's overcome once, he'll overcome again. Step by step, trial by trial, temptation by temptation. My peace is found in trusting him. Period. That's the simplicity of Christianity. Remember what it says in 1 John, this is the victory that overcomes the world? Faith is the victory that overcomes the world. Because what's faith? My faith is in him who is my life. He's already overcome the world. Why else would he say that? Be of good cheer, I've overcome the world. He's not talking about his death. He hadn't died yet. He said, in this world, you're going to have tribulation, but be of good cheer, I've overcome the world. And that matters because I'm going to be living inside of you. These breezes, and the Holy, that's what's so cool. Your peace is going to be in me. So for CTKers, I know some of this is familiar, but if I'm pumped about it again, which I never stop being pumped about it, because I've failed enough in my personal life, you know, in the behind the face, Misty Edwards' song, Life Takes Place Behind the Face, so whatever I might present to you behind the face, I know the real battle. And so the real solution means a lot to me. And I never get old discovering how extraordinary and how simple it is. Because our humanity, our temptation is to put things into a little formula. And then try to memorize stuff. One of the things I wrote down is this, is that victory over sin is not a formula that can be memorized, but is the person who lives in us that can be realized. Romans 5:10 says, "For if while we were enemies, we were reconciled to God through the death of His Son, much more, having been reconciled, now being born again, you shall be saved by His life." Well, I'm born again. What else needs to be saved? Me from me. Me from the power of sin. I'm saved from sin's power by His death. But what? And I'm going to be. And I'm saved from sin's. I mean, I'm saved from sin's penalty by His death. I'm going to be saved from sin's presence in my resurrection body. But who's going to save me? How am I going to get saved from sin's power? How do you stop seething? How do you stop resenting? How do you stop being anxious? How do you stop being fearful? How do you stop envying and being jealous? How do you stop being angry and controlling people? How do you stop lusting? How do you stop those things? Daydreaming that you had stuff you don't have. How do you stop being discontent? And then just gritting your teeth and memorizing Scripture? The Pharisees had, you couldn't be in the Sanhedrin unless you memorized the Old Testament. He says, "You shall be saved by His life." Where does He live? He lives in you. Who's He saving? You from you. You from the power of sin. He saves you by His life. And the language there is literally, you're saved in His life. In the life that Jesus lives. And He lives that life in you. And through you. As we abide in Him. Saved by His life. I don't know about y'all. And the reason for all the Colossians people coming through here while we're doing this again tonight, because it's so important that I break down any walls of formulas and print, you know, just things so that you're like going, yeah, tell me how, okay? It's spelled W-H-O, who. First Corinthians 15:57. That's a real familiar passage. This is all about Christ is all and He's in all. 1 Corinthians 15:57 says, "But thanks be to God. The sting of death is sin. And the power of sin is the law. But thanks be to God." What's the law? Human's best self-effort to be pleasing to God. That's the power of sin. The harder you try, the harder you fall. That's Romans chapter 7. "But thanks be to God." And I'm going to read it to you the way it's written. The way the grammatically way it's written. "But thanks be to God who in this very moment is giving you the victory through a person, through the Lord Jesus Christ." He's your victory right now. This present moment. In this present temptation. Christ Himself is your victory. 2 Corinthians chapter 12, verse 9. "And He said to me, 'My grace is sufficient for you, for power is perfected in weakness.'" That language, grammar is the same thing. My grace is in this present moment being sufficient for you. You don't have to beg for it to be. You don't have to ask for it to be. If something is, what do you do about it? If something is already, you believe it. You draw from it. You take. And what you take by faith, He undertakes with His power. If something is, I don't have to plead for it to be. I receive it. Thanks be to God who gives us. What is it? If you give somebody something, what is that? What is it? If you paid for it and you give it to them, it's a what? It's a gift. I got saved as a gift. Holiness is a gift. You have to draw from it. You have to abide in Christ. The more you cultivate intimacy, the more you're going to believe. You have to cooperate with that life in you. That's obedience. That's surrender. Those are obviously realities. But how do you receive a gift? You take it. And for Christians, how do we receive? Listen, this is a verse that's real familiar. If you've ever led somebody to Christ using this verse, when I used to witness a lot at University of Alabama Birmingham campus, this is one of our best verses. For by grace you have been saved. How did that happen? By grace you have been saved through faith. It's not of yourselves, it's the gift of God. It's not of yourselves, it's the gift of God. But here's the thing I want you to see about this verse. This is one of those fun tenses. This is perfect tense. By grace you have been saved. Perfect tense means it's completed action in the past, but it has continual present tense working results. In other words, the way you started was complete, and it's the way you continue. By grace, you have been saved and keep being saved. You have been saved from sin's penalty. You keep being saved from sin's power. By grace, you have been saved. It's not of yourselves. It's the gift of God. By grace, you have been saved. How? Through faith. And it's not of yourself. It's the gift of God. It's grace. It's a gift. Holiness is a gift. We have to be willing. We have to yield to it. We have to be able to stop and say, like Paul said, okay, I'm going to put this off anger. I don't have any more excuses for it anymore. And when anger starts to rise up in me, I'm going to look to you, Jesus, who live in me. In this very moment, I'm going to believe that you're being my victory right now. I'm going to thank you for being my victory right now. I receive you by faith as my victory right now. Faith doesn't hope for something. Faith believes. Faith is substance. By grace, you have been saved. Charles Trumbull says what he learned, one of the great old books, you've never read it, called Victory in Christ. He's been dead, I think, since like the 30s. 40s. He said, step by step, my grace is sufficiency. So His grace saved me. His grace keeps saving me. Grace is just who Jesus is for free, moment by moment. So moment by moment, I just thank Him. Every time I get tempted, thank you for saving me now, Jesus. I take. And then miraculously, He undertakes. When impatience rises up, Jesus, thank you for saving me now. Thank you for being my victory now. Not hoping for it, believing, because He says it's already so. If I believe it, will it make it so? No, He says, I am being your victory right now. Now, just believe it. My grace is being sufficient right now, so draw from me. It's a person. That's so frustrating. Isn't it more fun if there's a principle? Because somehow we get credit for that. By my own self-effort, somehow we can boast, oh, I'm just so much more spiritual than that person. I've tried so much harder. It's a person. Now, again, don't misunderstand me. There's a place of cultivating my relationship with that person. The more I know about him, the more I believe. You understand me? But Paul said, no, this one is not Paul, this one will be Peter, says, Second Peter 1, grace and peace be multiplied to you in your experience of God and Jesus our Lord, seeing that His divine power has already granted as a free gift to you everything that pertains to life and godliness through the true knowledge of Him who has called us to His own glory and excellence. For it is by these, for it is through which granted to us precious and magnificent promises that by them you might become partakers of the divine nature. Partaking. Not possessors. You're in Christ. You possess. When you abide in Christ, you partake of the divine nature. And the more the promises you have, the more you get to know Him, the more the promises, it's easier to partake, right? Huh? Right? Because faith comes, grows in us by the Word. We're going to see in just a minute, he talks about the Word of God, Christ richly dwelling in us. Part of this whole thing, well, we won't see it tonight. But, and this one, and then we're almost done. Romans 8:2. For the law of the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus has set you free from law, sin, and death. If you remember the whole Romans 7 conflict, I'm doing the things I don't want to do, the things I want to do I can't do, a wretched man that I am, who's going to live with me since body death. There's just this battle. My heart is to do God's will, but I don't know how to get the power. He's just telling the story of how he got free. And then he gives this crazy answer. I think I've shared, I know I've shared this, Lazarus, you've heard me say this before. But I used to read this for years. Well, for a couple of years anyway. When I was trying to make this thing work, and I would read, wretched man that I am. Yeah, that's me. Who shall deliver? Because I'd read this whole thing in Romans 7 and go, that's me. I want to do, I can't do. I can't do what I want to do. A wretched man that I am. Who shall deliver me from this body of death? And then I would go, thanks be to God through Christ the Lord. I thought, man, that's like signing off. And thanks be to God through Christ the Lord. And I would get so frustrated. I'd go, why would you lead me up to this point of getting me to admit, yeah, that's me. I want to do, my mind wants to do, there's this thing in my heart, but I find myself a slave to these thoughts and things I give into, these stuff. Oh, wretched man that I am, who shall live in his body? But thanks be to God through Christ the Lord. Why would you just sign off at that point? And then one day, one night, in my sister's basement, I saw it. He wasn't signing off. He was giving me the secret. Thanks be to God through Christ. That's who, not what, delivers me from this wretched man that I am, this body of death. And so in verse 2 he says, the law of the Spirit of life is in Christ. The law of the Spirit of life has set you free from the law of sin and death. So, I may have used this example before, but you kind of like, let's just say, and it might, but I'm not going to try. There's a lot of foam. But let's just say this was made out of really good, thick foam. So it floats. You know, it's like styrofoam. And so, if I take like a marble, and I put that marble in the water, the law of sin and death is like a gravitational pull. It's in you. You were born with it. Sorry. Part of the fall. You got it with you until you go to Jesus. So you get a new body, you got a law of sin and death in your members. And so if I put that marble in the water, guess what? Straight to the bottom. But you can't get free by saying, well, we're just going to eliminate the law of gravity. That's not going to happen until you go to heaven. So you're going to get pulled down every time. The marble does not have its own ability to not get pulled down. But if you take that marble and put it in the styrofoam container and toss it in the water, there's a law of floating that is stronger than the law of sin and death that's in that marble. The gravitational pull is still there. Right? The marble on its own would still sink. But as long as that marble is abiding in the case, it's going to float. Because the law of the Spirit of life is more powerful than the law of sin and death. The only hope to not sink is a person. And when you abide in the person, when you appropriate a person for every temptation, by faith, Not by pleading or begging, but by believing. How'd you get saved? Oh, please, 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 please save me. Next day, please, 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 please save me. The next day, please, 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 come into my heart, come into my heart, please, please, please. I'll put my trust in you. Please save me. At some point you go, thank you. Because according to your word, if I ask you, and not, then it's done. Colossians 2:6, just like you've received Him, walk in Him. Christ is all. He's all you need, and He's in all. It's a person, not a formula. And as long as I'm resting, that little marble is resting, abiding. And when that marble is abiding in this little thing, if the marble had a personality, it's not anxious. It's not fearful. Because this is faithful. Now, at any point, like we all do, if the marble gets tempted and decides to poke its head out the little styrofoam thing and go out there and try to handle the temptation in its own strength, its own ability, guess what happens? But when the temptation's out here roaring, it makes that little marble snuggle in a little bit deeper, abide a little bit deeper, because this is the only safe place of victory. Okay? All right. That was worth your quarter. So next time, CDKers that were here, we'll talk about, he gets very practical. So those who've been chosen by God, holy and beloved, cool stuff, put on specific who Christ is. This is all about putting on Jesus, remember? Things like compassion, kindness, humility, gentleness. I'm appropriating Him. Is there somebody that irritates you really bad? Is there, and I know that's probably not true for any of y'all, but is there somebody that you're around that irritates you, causes you to lose patience? How do you stop being impatient? I've memorized some scripture, and I just confess that scripture. What if you were like most of Christianity in the world, and you didn't read or write? What about if you were a Maasai believer who's been a believer for 30 years? Do you have no chance for victory because you can't read or write your Bible? What about 85-90% of Christians for 2,000-year history couldn't read or write, so that there was no hope for them to have victory? They couldn't memorize their Bible? So what about that person who irritates me? It's not their fault you're irritated. And does God want to deal with them for being irritating? I'm sure He does. But they're not an excuse for you to be irritated and impatient. That's sin. Put it off. You died to it. Consider yourself dead to it. You don't have to run around thinking of a formula. Just remember, I'm dead to that. I'm putting on Christ. Jesus, thank you for your patience right now. Your kindness. Your gentleness. Your compassion. Let me just read some of this. We'll do it when we do our study again. But bearing with one another, huh? Forgiving each other. You know the word forgiving in that scripture in verse 13 is the word gracing? It's not the typical word put away. It just means keep gracing people. How many of us do that? Instead of being rigid and judgmental. And I love what he says here. Gracing one another, and whoever has a complaint against anyone. Wow. Just as the Lord graced you, so should you. Huh? That ain't right. You know, can't be right. I mean, I got to try to be like Jesus and grace people the way He graced me. Now let Jesus be Jesus through you. You're one with Him. He's your life. Grace people with His grace. Your life is hidden with Christ. Appropriate Him and His ability to forgive and grace people. Put on Jesus. He's just talking about different parts of who aspects of Jesus. Okay. 7:37. Okay. Kelly, pray for us. Seal the deal.
Lord Jesus, I ask that you take this word and feel it in our hearts, make it practical to us, Lord, so we can apply it well. Lord, I ask that you be with us as we go about our lives. Amen.
Amen. For all you retreaters, we'll visit.